Welcome to Pastor Aggressive Podcast, real life, real faith, real talk. So let's talk about your week. You got a lot going on. We're putting this thing on blast right now. We have no clue what we're going to talk about today. I mean, nah. I have a little bit of a clue, but it's pretty, I wasn't even expecting a podcast today, to be honest. But Tiffany, for some reason, without informing me, told you that you needed to pick up a bookshelf for us from Columbus or something.
Yeah.
And so then you came to drop it off. I'm like, oh, okay. I didn't even know that. Honestly, I had no idea. I was going to call you, though, because I was going to have you pick up my generator tomorrow. Now somebody else is going to do that. It's a whole thing. Anyway.
What do you need your generator for? The camp?
Yeah. Take it down to camp.
Yeah.
Family camp.
It wasn't a big deal. That bookshelf was only like 9 minutes away from me. It was a misplan, though, dude. It was supposed to be on the porch. Quick drop. Drop the money under the foop to foop, and it wasn't there. So I had to talk to the guy. Can you believe
that's
that?
Awkward.
I know.
Maybe he just decided he didn't want to have stuff on his porch, so his landlord didn't kick him out. You know what I'm saying?
All right. So we sneak peeked it a little bit on the podcast with Matt, but I found out on Saturday of last week that it'll be two Saturdays ago for you guys that I'm getting evicted, which offended me, I must say, because I'm not the type of guy to get evicted, bro. I don't really do anything. I'm just chilling. I pay my rent on time all the time, besides the time I was in Honduras and just couldn't pay it because I wasn't in the country.
Right.
And she evicted me because I don't mow my lawn enough and my porch was dirty.
But,
granted,
that lumber's going to come in handy now.
Exactly.
Probably.
I work in construction, so it's like, sure, I'll keep my 2x4s in the house, lady.
Yeah.
Nah, she's not a horrible person. Well, it depends
who
you
ask.
She's
not a great lady.
She's not wonderful, but it's a blessing. I'm trying to see it. I saw it that way at first, but more stuff like now I got to pack and move and all this and that. I'm getting real stressed out, man. I'll be honest. I don't have a whole lot of money because I switched jobs, and now I'm moving in with Warner.
And what's the job situation like now? Is the job hunt still on for something closer? Because if you move here, you're going to be far away from work.
Yeah, but the thing with where you live, it's like 30 minutes anywhere you're going to work. You know what I mean? It's 30
Pretty
minutes
much,
to Indianapolis,
yeah.
30 minutes to Martinsville, 30 minutes to Columbus. So I'd like to find a job in Franklin, you know?
Yeah.
That's pretty close. But I don't hate my job. It looks like there's going to be a new opportunity for me. Hopefully my supervisor doesn't listen to the podcast, but they're trying to get rid of him. He's been doing some SA stuff. There's this lady.
Wait.
Yeah. And he's always been weird. So the first time I meet the guy, the first time I'm in there in the office, it's this lady and this guy who's my maintenance supervisor. And he's talking about like licking peanut butter off of parental
Whoa.
Advisory
yeah.
right in front of me, bro.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. And this guy's telling me about how he's a Christian and how he goes to church and he's taking his daughter to church camp and all this and that. So I knew there was something like weird with going on with this guy, right? So there's this lady that I've been doing work orders, and she's like a little like flirty and, you know, always in a robe, and it could be uncomfortable. But she's been super nice. I've been talking to her about Jesus. I told her I was a Christian, and she was super interested. And I've been talking to her and seeing the way God's working in her life. It's really awesome. She's a single mom with two kids. Just left her abusive husband in Indianapolis.
Found her an abusive supervisor.
And that's the thing.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So he comes over on a Saturday to do work. He's working overtime.
He's doing work all right.
Yeah. No, he was trying to do some plumbing. That's what he was trying to do.
That's wild.
So he knocks on her door, and like she's tipsy is what she tells me. She's telling me all this, so I don't know everything. And basically he told her that she needs her pipes cleaned out by him. is what she told me. And she's super lonely, and she's told me that. Right, so what do I do when somebody tells me they're lonely? I'm like,
not
you got
to
seek Jesus. I'm like, Jesus is the answer for these things you're struggling with. Nah, I'm trying to pipe that.
Ugh.
And I'm like, oh, I just said his name. We'll have to cut that out.
I've got some notes on some places to bleep some things out. It's going to be fine.
Yeah, so it's just weird. It's weird working under that guy, and they found out about that, and apparently it's been an ongoing thing, and now they're trying to get rid of him. So all that being said, I might be able to become a maintenance supervisor.
Yeah.
Where I'll be making probably a couple more bucks an hour. But to be honest with you, bro, I've been crunching the numbers and I make about $1,400 less a month. So there's not a whole lot they can do to, you know, get me there again. So I don't know. I don't really need to be making the same money. Like if I was caught up on everything and I took this pay cut, I would have been fine. But It was like I had 3 weeks off in between the job just because of church camp and Jewish holidays and all types of stuff. Don't they know Judaism is done for, bro? Like Jesus has come already, bro. Like
Messiah's already here, pal.
Yeah, give it up. So yeah, I've just. It's got a lot piled on.
You're definitely
going
to get a promotion with that kind of attitude.
Yeah. But today, there's this kid. He's 21. And I talked about this on a pod before where he was homeless at 15. Him and his little brother's mom died. And his dad was never around. And he was homeless. And somehow he ended up in Indiana. He's from Florida. And I got to pray with him a couple weeks ago. I was just talking to him. And I asked him if he believed in Jesus. And he told me, yeah, we prayed. And I got to see him again today. He told me, he was like, bro, ever since we prayed, bro, God's been looking up, looking down on me, blessing me, bro. He's doing like this day trading thing. And he said he hasn't had his gas turned on in 3 months. Whoa. Because he's been just like, it's just him and his little brother. He's 21 and he's been trying to pay bills. And he said he came up big and he's not stressed. He has all these plans about how he wants to start like an after school care thing for kids in Florida. And he wants to like pay them food, like money for food and child support and all types of stuff. And he wants to do all these big dreams. And today we got to pray for thanks, which was just so beautiful that just two weeks ago, when I thought I was in a good place, by the way, we prayed for God's grace. And 2 weeks later, we're praying thanks over his life and over my life.
That's awesome.
And it was just super cool. So, yeah, I don't really care where I end up working. You know what I mean? Just the money doesn't matter. That stuff doesn't matter. It does to an extent, but like anywhere I go, I want to be able to have conversations like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So we'll see what God's doing, man.
Yeah, that's good. That was a wild way to start this podcast. So that was crazy talk. That was awesome. I love that.
I know.
It's cool because I've been wanting to, you know, on my old podcast, I used to like bleep out all the curse words because my friends that I did the podcast with were not Christians. And they had some mouths on them and I'd have to bleep out. I tried to bleep out the cuss words. And then eventually I just got to the point where I was like, whatever, I'm not going to bleep out every. It's a lot of work. But I used to have this sound effect that was like a clown horn that was really funny. And I think I'm going to roll that bad boy back out for a couple of these. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that's cool. It's interesting because, you know, we talk about how God is doing stuff in different people's lives and, like, you know, who are we to judge? Now, obviously, there's some things we just talked about that definitely warrant some level of judgment.
Yeah.
Definitely somebody needs to be making better judgment. But in the Bible study last night at the men's Bible study, I was talking about in Acts 21. And I'm starting to see where, like, the things that Paul writes in his letters, how he acts them out throughout the whole book of Acts. Like, mm-hmm. or he, like, you can see where he got this idea, where, like, the moment the Holy Spirit dropped this wisdom bomb on him. So in Acts 21, he comes to he comes to Jerusalem and he already knows it's going to be a bad time. Like that's basically Holy Spirit has warned him. It's not going to be great, you know? But he comes to the conclusion that he's going to go to Jerusalem anyway. So he shows up and James, who is the brother of Jesus, is the lead apostle, pastor, elder, whatever you want to call him, of the church in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. And him and the other elders greet Paul and they're like, hey, we're so glad you're here. Also, pretty much everyone around here is ticked off at you because they have this idea that you're anti-law, anti-tradition, anti-Jewish. They basically call Paul an anti-Semite, even though he's a Jewish guy. He's like, wait, what? But instead of fighting them and arguing with them and making a big stink about it, he's like, okay, what can I do to like make everybody feel a little bit better? And he goes and like goes through the process of traditional like cleansing from like being unclean with these other guys, and like helps them to get prepare themselves to go to the temple and all this stuff. Because he's like, this isn't really a salvation issue, so I'm not going to make a big stink about it, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's kind of, I'm seeing that in, you know, the way I'm trying to do things and the way you're doing things, in that both of us have at times struggled with being like, I don't know about that, man. I'm not going to, you know, yeah. I'd rather just argue this to death, or just like theology knowledge this thing until it's, you know, black and blue.
Yeah.
But I'm getting away from that, man. I don't know about you, but I'm just like, yeah. If it's not Jesus, I'm going to back off a little bit on stuff that's not huge, like that's not a salvation issue. I'm just not going to make a big stink about it. Like, you know, I don't think we talked about it on the podcast, but you and I talked about how I've been seeing all these TikToks about like people saying that like Protestant pastors are the only ones that don't like commit to celibacy, and then like it's a huge thing on TikTok right now.
Which people is even like Catholics. Some Catholics aren't celibate. And
right,
priesthood.
Right, right. And so then there's people arguing that like even married pastors should then be celibate, and it's like that's a confusing concept given what else is said in the Bible about like married people. And it's like, I don't really know how I feel about this, but I know how I feel about it. but anyway, you're gonna know how I feel about it when you move in.
In my conversation with this kid today, we're talking about, I was telling him about how like what's going on in my life, and how like if I end up in Honduras, how I feel about that and how nerve-wracking that is. And he's like, well, he says layer of protection is what he says. God's going to put a layer of protection around his servants. And he's like, look at like the Mormons that walk around here. And immediately when he said that, my brain went to, do you know what Mormons believe? But I let him talk. And then he was talking about church. I was like, are you a part of a church? Like, he's talking about friends and this and that. And I'm like, you need to be a part of a church, bro. Like, are you a part of a church? He's like, nah, this thing happened to me when I was a kid, and ever since then, the church has been iffy for me. And I'm like,
yeah.
I was like, I let him talk.
We hear that a lot.
Yeah, I let him talk. And I didn't, like, bite down on it, because what I valued more was our relationship, right? But at the end of the conversation, I still found a way to slip it in and be like, can I give you my unsolicited advice on something real quick?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, the church is a good thing. I'm giving them the reasons, how the church has helped me personally, and what the scriptures say about the church. And it was a peaceful, good conversation. And he's coming to church with me on Sunday now.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
So instead of like derailing the conversation, and a lot of people just want to be heard, especially a 21-year-old guy who's taking care of his little brother and probably has no friends and nobody to talk to.
Yeah.
He just wants to be heard. So why would I, in pride and selfishness is almost what it boils down to, like turn into this debater for what? Right. What do I have to prove? I have to let Christ teach, not me.
So that's awesome. How are you going to do that on Sunday?
What do you mean?
Aren't you going to be at family camp?
I don't know if I'm going to go because... So this is a part of me getting evicted that I left out. That's kind of funny.
Yeah.
I thought October came before September, and she said I had to be out September 1st.
Yeah.
So I was chilling. You know what I mean? I was still going about doing my normal things.
Yeah.
But since September does come before October...
Yes.
I think I might have to skip out on church camp. Okay. Or at least a couple days of it. Yeah. I might come Friday, tomorrow night, and stay a little bit of Saturday, but like, I got to get the ball rolling.
Yeah, and also.
I'd like if this kid, I'm going to text him and ask him if he really wants to come to church.
Yeah.
And if he does, that's more important, you know, than being at church camp Sunday morning, which I'd love to, but.
You're going to have to fill out a new guest card at your church though, aren't you?
Oh, no, I was going to bring him to your church.
Oh, you're going to bring him all the way up there?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I was going to drive him.
That's cool. I'm doing double duty on Sunday because I'm going to preach at chapel at the camp at 8, get wrapped up there, get in my car, show up at the church.
Right. Do you remember last year when we did that?
I'm about to show up at church about the same time half the people show up at my church. You know what I'm saying?
That's horrible.
Do you remember last time
after we got out of the camp, we were like speeding down 69 trying to make it there in time?
And so that's like ever since last year, that's an annual tradition because – family camp prior to this,
mm-hmm.
I would just have somebody else speak at the church.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't a big deal. And I don't have a problem with that. But it got suggested somehow last year, and I don't know if it was me. I don't know who it was. I really can't remember the details. But they were like, we could just do chapel before breakfast. And then, or maybe it was, I had somebody else come in and guest speaking like a week after or something. I was like, I don't want to miss two. Right. Something like that.
That's right.
So I was like.
You had the Muslim guy coming, or the ex-Muslim guy.
Well, that was later, though, because that was in like.
It was somebody that gave a testimony.
Yes. Okay. So I had a friend giving a testimony. So I was like, I don't really want to do 2 weeks off of being at church. Traditional, being with the the whole group. So I was like, I'll just do both. It's not going to be a problem. We'll make this thing work. And then now, like this year, just kind of came around, and nobody had said anything. And I hadn't gotten anybody. And then everybody was just like, oh yeah, we're just going to do that same thing, right? The early chapel. And I was like, yeah. So it's fine though. It's cool. I don't mind it really.
I'll give you a ride, man. If you got nobody else to drive you.
I'll have my car there.
Oh, you guys are driving separate.
Yeah. Because there's too much stuff to take.
Yeah, you got a whole different thing going on this time. You're going to be camping out in the camper, and I'm going to be alone in a cabin with no Wi-Fi.
With no Wi-Fi. Yeah. Yeah. So, because you were at the house with us, the like weird, they have like a house on
sick.
Yeah, on the property.
It was like the parsonage.
Yeah, basically. But we're going to be camping in the camper, and that's cool. That's fine.
And your guys' tiny little camper. That surprisingly even fits just you. I can't believe it fits all five of you guys.
It is not a comfortable fit. It's not great, but that's what Tiffany wants to do, so we're going to go with it. Good for the goose, something about, I don't know.
Gandering.
Yeah. Pandering to the goose or something. I don't know.
My supervisor ganders too much.
That's wild, dude. I don't know how I feel about that. Well, I know how I feel about that.
You did this earlier.
I know. That's my new catchphrase.
That just really sucked, man, because like this lady is like really seeking Christ, and like what you're talking about, bro, it's like hard not to like judge people and judge like that kid earlier, like what he thought about Mormons. I'm like, really... I think you don't know what you're talking about. And he was talking about throwing stuff up to the universe. And I'm like, oh man, like be careful with that. I'm like judging this guy. And I'm like, but this kid has been through it, bro. And he still praises God.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, same thing with this lady is like, she's seeing a bunch of guys and this and that and this and that, but she's still seeking God. Yeah. And I'm like, I gotta be there to help her find God.
Yeah.
Or help him find her, or however that works, or I guess I can't. God doesn't need my help, or I'm about to deconstruct from my faith.
I mean, is she elect or not?
I should have just asked her. Like, do you think you're called according to His purpose?
Are you predestined? Oh man, that was something that came up in the Bible study. You know.
Oh boy, it's a good thing I wasn't there.
You know, Eli, goes to our church and. He's really looking for like what he can do, how he can do more at church and serve. And he's looking to be in leadership at some point. And he's like, what does that look like? And all this stuff. But he and I talk a lot about like he grew up in a church that was very much like I don't know that I wouldn't say anti-Calvinist, but like Calvinism was like a scary word to them. And so like he has thoughts about that are pretty extreme the other way. Like. And then I told him, like, you know, I grew up pretty strong Calvinist. And so now, like, we can joke about those things. But I was in the midst of that, I was talking about, like, the salvation issue stuff and how we really need to focus on what are the important things that we really need to hang our hat on. And he said something about he was talking about something that he used to get hung up on. And he's like, I don't even want to die on that hill anymore. And I said, that's kind of like Calvinism. I've died on both sides of that hill.
The hard part about Calvinism is there's some things that are true about it.
Yeah.
And I find myself like neglecting Calvinism or like denying it so much that I deny some things that are true.
Then
like
you start to throw out stuff. Yeah. That
throw out the like, baby oh, with the bath. Yeah. With the bathwater. Yeah. Shout out to our couple episodes ago.
I'm not Calvinist. I'm Calvin-ish.
That's the podcast title.
That is good.
I'm not That's Calvinist. Good. I'm Calvinish.
That's good.
Or maybe it's just Calvinish.
Yeah.
Just Calvinish.
That's good. We'll shout out to Isaac, who's listening now because the title caught his eye.
Calvinish. Yo, another thing with this whole move is I'm going to be like at your church now. I'll probably be Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think. Yeah.
A friend of mine that we mutually know, I can't air it out because nobody really knows yet, is moving to Cincinnati, moving away. And he's a huge part of my life and somebody I spend a lot of time with, Monday nights, Wednesday nights, stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I shouldn't talk about this. Anyways, a lot of my Columbus life is leaving.
Yeah, yeah.
On God's time. It's like right on God's time. So it's like, am I going to be out there? Because Wednesday nights I have dinner with this guy. And then I go to Bible study right across the street.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, wow, now I'm really just airing out who it is.
It's fine.
So like now I'm going to be like Bible study at your church. Monday night thing is probably going to go away. And I'll probably be at your church most of the time. So like your wife told me a few weeks ago, she was like, you need to make a choice. And I didn't like that.
Why'd she say that?
She didn't say it like brutal. Mean, but I... She didn't say it like
I mean,
that.
She's
but
right.
She was essentially saying you need to make a choice. And I didn't know how I felt about that because I don't think it's wrong that I attend like different churches.
No, I don't think so.
But like there is also like a part of being a being part of a community, because I've noticed that my relationship has dimmed with the people of my old church.
Sure.
Old church, whatever. So now I'm going to be like solely committed to one church, which will be the first time in forever. Since I met your dad. Your dad died. I left that church.
Yeah.
Then I stayed at my church for a little while. And then I started getting close with you and started coming out to your church just by happenstance, by like events and this and that.
Yeah.
And now I've come to enjoy your church and the people of your church. People know me and I hug the old ladies in your church and this and that. And, I don't know. I'm excited for that, but I'm also nervous because with commitment, with intimacy is a hard thing, bro, because we talk about that a lot. Vulnerability, especially us living together now, is going to be like, we are going to be to a point where we're so close to one another that we see the bad stuff in one another.
I think we already do that a little bit, right?
I don't know, because I was watching Chris with you at the band thing the other day, and I was like, and how he was getting frustrated, and like he was kind of mean to you, and I'm like, oh, man, I hope that I don't become like that towards you, where I just become peeved and annoyed by the little things you do, which there's things I do that's annoying. Same thing with being part of a church. Yeah. When I'm open and real with the people of the church, they're going to know things about me. Like, my church knows now that I struggle with weed and porn.
Yeah, yeah.
And the old people in the church are, like, flabbergasted by that.
I think you'd be surprised. Our church is not... At least I've not found anything where they've been, like, shocked by anything.
There's little things, though, bro, because, like, if people have a vision of me, right? I come when the missionary from Honduras is in town, right? And he's cracking jokes and pointing me out from the stage. Yeah, yeah. And people are seeing me as, like, maybe... I hope they're not seeing me as, like, some holy, virtuous, righteous young Christian who's, like, leading the way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because the truth is, I'm still messing up. I'm still messing up all the time. I'm losing control. I'm losing control of my emotions. Mm-hmm. I'm angry. I'm sad sometimes. I don't want to respond or talk to people sometimes. And I can tell that like creates a void, a weird void that I have to work out with people. And working that out is not fun. It's not easy.
Yeah. There's also going to be a real health concern with us being in the same house that we're going to just be drinking Celsius nonstop.
I'm gonna get a Celsius sponsored fridge for this place, dude. I'm gonna have, do you know those like little laundry things in those giant houses that come down in the wall? I'm gonna put one in the wall to go up between our rooms.
Yeah, just Celsius is all on demand.
11 o'clock at night, I'm like dinging the bell for a Celsius.
Yeah, yeah.
Like repelling it down to me. This is gonna be crazy, bro.
Yeah, I think it'll be good. I've lived with friends before, and sometimes it's been like, okay, you gotta go. But there was a friend that lived with us when we first bought our house, who was my best friend in high school. One of my best friends in high school. He was my best man in my wedding. And he and I just knew kind of when to be like, all right, well, let's not hang out today. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It was just, we understood that. And we're not, and this is just a life thing, we're not as close as we were then, but that's because like we're both doing different things.
Yeah.
But when we do hang out, it's still like just like any other time. Like our relationship was not damaged by us living together.
Yeah.
You know, so
I'm like walking on eggshells because I don't want I don't want you guys to feel like I'm taking advantage of you. And I know you guys are like bestowing this blessing upon me, right? Like you guys are helping me out, and I don't want to come off like I'm taking advantage or anything like that. It's just, I don't know. I've never done this before.
Yeah.
You guys like have a solidified life. You know, you guys have 3 kids, and you guys are in a mode of functionality that I'm going to disrupt. And same for me. So I don't know. There's just like new boundaries to work out and new, and I don't like using that word. I mean, what your wife was talking about earlier, like you got to set boundaries with the kids where when the door's shut, they can't come down. And I'm thinking like, I don't mind. Like, that's something I could adjust to. Sure, I'd get frustrated and tell Jude to go do something else with his life here and there. But, like, that's just part of the game. You know what I mean? Like, just working those things out and vulnerability, I think, is going to be the push. The push.
Yeah. Part of that Bible study we did yesterday, too, was the communication is so important.
Yeah.
Because what happens is when Paul shows up, there's a misconception about him, but rather than just be like, all right, we need to be prepared for Paul to be a total jerk to us, James goes to him and greets him and then says, hey, this is what's being said. What do we need to do?
Yeah.
And that's the most crucial thing.
Well, I think I know you well enough to know that sometimes you kind of let people push the boundaries a little bit on you, and I'm very well known for doing the same thing. So, I don't know. I think it'll be good. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. But yeah, that maybe we could talk about that intimacy and the vulnerability with the church. We haven't talked about that in a long time, about the importance of the church, and I think a lot of stuff has happened in our lives. I mean, the amount of growth in your church since we just started this thing of, like, you were looking for a worship team, and that was a whole mess, and now you have, like, a blooming worship team.
Yeah, full on.
You got a guy doing announcements for you. You have people that are stepping up and wanting to grow in the church.
Yeah.
And things are certainly different for me in the church life, so I think we should talk about the importance of the church.
Yeah.
30 minutes into the episode.
Okay. I can save. So we teased earlier, like last season, something about like talking about the talking about how pop culture is influenced by like the historical account of Jesus.
Yeah.
And by all of that. But we can hold off on that. I've got some stuff on it, but I could probably do more research. I want that one to be a really good one. So
yeah, that needs to be a full, because I don't have nothing on that.
Yeah, but I do have some stuff on that, but we could get to it later. But I was interested. I did a little bit of research on it to get prepared for it, and some of the stuff I hadn't even thought of that is like, oh yeah, that's how ingrained it is into pop culture, that like this messianic image of Christ, that it's like it's basically anything that has good and evil in it in a plot has some sort of like messianic figure, and it's,
let's just go on that.
It's astounding. I think we should both do some research and come at it with a whole episode, because yeah, like you said, I have some
stuff on my mind, like archetypes, like even like justice, like we have this urge for justice. Yeah. And it's like we love seeing justice fulfilled in movies, not even just like fictional, like superhero movies. We love watching like action movies.
We like to see people get their comeuppance.
yeah. Where, what's his name? That guy saves his daughter who's been kidnapped, taken.
Oh, yeah.
And we love stuff like that. Yeah, that's interesting.
Or Taken 2, also Taken. That's not what it's called, but that's what it should have been called.
They got to stop making sequels of stuff, dude.
So do you want to dive into this, or do you want to hold off for another episode?
Let's hold off. Let's give them one more teaser.
Very cool. Very cool. I like that. I do have. Kathy's texting me. That's great. She probably wants to know when to be at camp.
Say, make sure to bring your do rag.
She probably already has it packed, dude.
Dude.
Yeah, I think that would be a really good idea to just have a full episode of that. I think it's going to be really cool.
We need another nerd on here for that,
though. Yeah, I thought about that. I've got friends that could probably come in on that side of it. That I don't know if they'd want to do the podcast or not. I could talk to them, though. We could see if that could happen.
We gonna figure that out. We gonna figure that out for the one time.
Yeah, yeah, for the one time. So yeah, so talking about, we talk about the church a lot though, but I think that's kind of the direction of this podcast.
Not in a little while. I
but feel what like. What are you, what is what specifics are you kind of getting at here? Like,
let's revisit why church.
Okay.
Remember that was one of the first episodes we did was why church.
Yeah.
And I absolutely loved that episode because it was like a reference point for me to give to people. But this kid today reminded me of this girl that I met, my friend's girlfriend, who had a tattoo of a burning church on her arm.
A burning church?
Yes. So you don't remember this. She swore up and down that she was a Christian.
Okay.
Now, when you meet people like this and they say, I don't think you have to go to church to be a Christian, I would concede and say, I agree.
Yes, I agree also.
But that's a loaded thing to say. That's like a, that's a very loaded question, right? Do I have to go to church to be a Christian? No. Maybe we should say, should I go to church if I'm a Christian?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Why? I think, and then I'll let you riff on it. When I think of this girl or this guy I met today, they say things that aren't Christian, right? The universe. This girl specifically didn't believe that Jesus was God, that she was a prophet, and this and that. So
that is a salvific issue, and right. Is a heresy that's like well known.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or even this guy, Rampage Jackson. Do you know this guy? UFC no. fighter. You've seen his meme. There's a meme of him where he was in this thing called The Ultimate Fighter where they coach teams, and he's like kicking down this door and tearing this door off. Have you never seen
no,
this?
No, I don't think so.
I'll show it to you after, and maybe we can
insert. If it's not an AI Sasquatch, I'm not into it.
Maybe we can insert the clip. But this guy says all the time, I love watching his UFC recaps, but he'll say in interviews and stuff, he's like, I'm not religious, but I'm a child of the Most High God. And I heard him today quote something from the Old Testament, and then he used that to say, basically, you can do whatever you want to your wife. So in the same breath, Yikes. He's saying he's not religious. I would agree with that. But what does that mean to him?
Yeah.
That means I don't go to church. That means I don't do the things Jesus is calling me to do. And I don't understand the things Jesus is calling me to do, which is for history, for 2,000 years of history, has been deemed and influence isn't the word, dished out by the church.
Yeah.
Right? So without the church, without the structure of the church, of elders, of people you respect, which is something I hear a lot of why people don't go to church is because of the old people.
Yeah.
They're judgmental, they're this and that. But in a sense, you need that. You need old people that are going to tell you, let's take old out of it, wise people that are going to tell you when you're going astray. And young people that just want to be around other young people. But sometimes that's unhelpful. So there's like a lot of things in the church that we deem evil. And because we don't ride them out and we leave, we run from those things, we allow them to stay evil things in our mind instead of working through those and understanding why those things are important. While I told the kid today, I was like, with old people, sometimes you just got to chew up the meat and spit out the bones. Like you got to take what's good and leave what's bad. But also there is a sense where we need to be told sometimes, especially when we're young, what's good and what's bad.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
I think there's also, I heard something today on a podcast, a clip that I was watching, and at first I was like, oh, that's a big red flag for me. But then when they explained it, I was like, no, that's actually really good. So I heard someone refer to themselves as Christian light. And then they were like, because sometimes she was like, there's even been times in my life where I've been like, I don't really want to be called a Christian because Christians are doing these bad things.
Me too.
And I was like, oh, I don't really like where this is going. Normally this is like somebody who's like not. But then she's like, but my faith is such a part of who I am that I can't deny that. And she said that, I feel like saying Christian light actually makes sense because I am Christian. And she said, you know why I'm Christian? Because Jesus is cool. She's like, I want to be like him. And she's like, that's why I'm a Christian. And I'm like, that's rad. And I do like that. I think that's a really good description. But typically when you hear people say stuff like that, like, I'm not a Christian. I'm a Christ follower. That's normally just somebody who wants an excuse to not go to church.
Yeah. And I've definitely been there. I mean, bro, so I've been packing up and I was unpacking this file cabinet I had. And when I used to do security, I used to take notes all the time. So I remember the first book I read was How to Win Friends and Influence People. And then I met your dad, and I wrote this note the day after I went to church with your dad for the first time. And in this note, I'm writing, I'm like saying how I'm confused, I don't know what I'm feeling. And also I put in there, I was like, it almost feels like my third eye has been opened. Now, if I heard myself saying that now, I'd be
slap
like
the third eye right off the forehead.
Seriously, if I heard myself saying that now, I'd be brought back. But in the time, in the context, in the understanding I had of religion or of the Holy Spirit or faith or supernatural things in general, that's what I was working with. So I called it the third eye, like being awakened.
Yeah.
But now I wouldn't see it that way.
Dude, I talked about this in the Bible study yesterday too, when I was talking about the things where we like change our mind about stuff that's not salvation issues, mm-hmm. right? Which maybe someday we need to go through, like, what are the bare minimum salvation issues? Probably something to discuss sometime. But
yeah, I got some wild takes on that.
Yeah, I know, and I think we would disagree sometimes on some of those things. But I will say this: I mentioned this at the Bible study. Finishing this book that's coming out in October called Through a Glass Darkly, finishing the book, I read through it and then I read it out loud to Tiffany so that she could like get a grasp of like what, like she could have read it herself. But a lot of times when you listen to an audiobook, you're listening to the author read it because you get their take on it, you know?
Yeah.
So I read it all out loud to her over the course of a couple weeks. And, one of the things that really stood out to me yesterday when I was talking about this stuff in Bible study about like letting go of the things that are not salvation issues, I was talking about what a jerk I was in high school about stuff that actually was like tertiary Christianese stuff that doesn't really matter. And how if I would have read in high school the book I just wrote, I would have been so ticked off. I would have been like, this guy's a heretic. This is awful. This is trash. It would have, like, I would have been so mad because I had such an issue with people that believed things that were not what I believed. And I don't believe those things anymore.
Yeah.
I believe them differently. I understand them differently.
Yeah. And a big part of that, I think, is the people around you, hence the church. Like, when you've influenced me in so many ways. I remember I used to be like scared to pray with people, bro. And now I was thinking about it today. Like, I wasn't even nervous praying with this guy. I prayed for like 3 people at my job, just like, cause I felt God. One of them, this guy's sitting in his truck. Little did I know he was drinking alcohol cause he was an alcoholic. Whoa. He's like hiding, drinking alcohol. And like, I'm walking around picking up trash and God's just saying, walk up to this guy.
Yeah.
And I'll walk up to him, I start talking, I start praying with him. And it's not like God hasn't been speaking to me in that way. It's just that the way I see you, I really see you as a Christian. The same thing I told Matt, I don't see you as, I see you as a pastor, but ultimately I see you as another Christian. Same thing with Matt. So it's like when I'm surrounded by guys like Matt, I thought mission trips were a bad thing. Yeah, I thought they were corny. Yeah. I called them church vacations. I thought it was like just something fun you did because you see like the kids in youth camp going to do it and they're like heart, you can't tell, like it's just for fun, adventure. But Matt completely changed my mind because I saw Matt as like somebody who was really a Christian and who was really like serving God with the things he was doing. Same thing for you. So like having those people in your life that are like willing to change your mind just by like being who they are.
Yeah.
Like when you see those things, they will shape and mold your mind. Even like going on a mission trip, we talk about all the time how like pivotal going to Honduras was in our minds and the way we acted and the way we spoke to people and thought about things. Like experiencing the church forms your idea of our Lord, I think.
Yeah. I think you're right. And going back to what you said about you don't see us as like missionary or pastor or whatever, as much as like just Christians. I heard something today that I was like, oh man, that's really good. And I hope that I'm doing that. And he was saying that biblical leadership is largely invisible when it's done right.
Yeah.
That's
Jesus,
crazy.
Jesus says that. He says,
that's crazy.
He says, keep that stuff secret, dude. Yeah. Let your Father in heaven know it.
Yeah. That's just, it's wild to me. To think like, I'm like, man, that is absolutely crazy, but that's so true.
This kid today told me a story of this young guy that they met going to church in Florida. And he would take them out to lunch all the time. And these two kids I always went with, they go out to lunch. And this guy, he's like, oh, you guys are going out to lunch? And they wanted to invite him, but they felt like weird about it. And the guy's just like, well, can I come? I've never been there before. Mm. And it's like, he just like is like silently sliding his way in. And he's telling me the story of this kid. And I can see, like, I can almost see through the lens of this guy he's talking about. He's saying like how this guy is so cool, how he's revered, and everybody wants to shake his hand and this and that. But from what he's telling me about the guy doesn't feed off of that. He still like wants to be invisibly in these kids' lives,
yeah,
and just be a part of it. And he doesn't have to be that. He doesn't have to be that guy that's glamorized. He wants to be an invisible like force in their lives, just being used by God.
Yeah.
And that is like the most, because this guy, this kid is telling me stories about this guy from 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And this guy probably doesn't even care. You know what I mean? And that's who I want to be. I don't want to be big and glamorous.
Yeah.
That's what scares me. That's honestly a big part that scares me of being a missionary, because there's like a title that comes with that. There's a reverence that comes with that. And like, that scares me what I would do with that. You know what I mean? Do you struggle with that as a pastor ever? Did you?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I still do sometimes when I'm doing stuff like right now, restructuring our leadership structure at the church. And when people don't understand it, I feel like maybe it looks like I'm just like throwing my weight around or something. And that's not what I'm trying to
do. That's a lot of weight to throw around.
But that's not my goal. Like, I'm not trying to just do this because it's my idea or whatever. It's the biblical design. And I think that it will benefit not just me, but the whole congregation.
Yeah.
And so that's the goal. That's what the purpose of it is. But I don't know. Sometimes just like stepping away from stuff is so important, because it, like, then I can make sure, okay, this is not about me. Like, I can set things in motion, but then step away so that it's like, this is not my thing. This is just a thing that, yeah, I get to be a part of.
Yeah, bro, I started saying this where I would just say praise God all the time, right?
Yeah,
because it's like uncomfortable when people are giving you praise. So this guy today, he's like, dude, you're so awesome, yada yada yada, this and that. And I'm like, praise God, bro, praise, yeah, God, praise God, praise God.
No, mom she's is work, not sweetie. In here. Okay, well, we'll help you in just a little bit, Iris. Close
we're almost
door. Thank
done.
You.
So yeah, just being.
Now my phone's trying to interject.
This is like in Honduras when you were trying to play that translation and your Christian metal starts,
yeah,
playing,
yeah,
on the freaking speaker.
I was thinking about that today because I I was blaring Christian metal. I'm in a really good mood today, probably because I was listening to some Christian metal pretty much all day. Just blaring it every to and fro where I'm going. And then I get to the prayer at the square thing. And sometimes I'll play music there.
Yeah.
And I was like, what if I don't check this before and I just hit play and then just starts playing like Bloodlines or something, is just like ripping people's ears off. I don't, that, yeah. Yeah. So I thought about that today because I was like, oh, I did that to a bunch of Honduran children when
that
we
don't
were
even
trying
know the
to
language.
BBS to them. Yeah.
That's hilarious. I have noticed you've been in a better mood. You've been sending me texts with exclamation points at the end of them. That's
I
how
have?
I know when you're in a good mood.
Is that the indicator?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, oh, he's talking to me like, he's a pastor again.
I thought when I'm at my highest moments is when I'm sending you like
wizard memes.
Lo-fi wizard memes, but apparently that's not it.
No, that's like...
like VHS quality wizard memes.
That's like 1 a.m. scrolling TikTok. Where do you find those things? Do you make them?
No. It's a Facebook page I follow, which now I found a TikTok that's doing videos of that kind of content, and it's very good. I really love the Silly Goose ones. Those are my favorite ones.
Which is crazy because you don't seem like you like the geese that are in your backyard.
Those are ducks, and they're jerks.
They look like geese.
They're definitely
ducks. Do geese lay eggs?
Geese lay eggs. Ducks lay eggs. Most birds lay eggs.
Wow. You know what surprised me? I saw yesterday a cat with... I didn't think cats had...
Did you? You did not?
Dude, when I was a kid, I thought girls peed out of their...
I'm going to have to bleep out so much of this episode.
I'm sorry. Where's
the notepad? I need to write that down. Where are we at? 45.
I'm a learned man now. Yeah. I know better.
You thought all cats were girls and all dogs were boys?
I don't know. I saw the same thing with an elephant the other day. I need to get off the internet.
You need to stop going to the zoo or whatever you're doing.
Oh. Dude, I had a friend of mine tell me, this is so often, I guess we're off the church thing. Hey, guys, go to church. If you're thinking about it, man, if you're on the fence, if you've been hurt by the church, bro, go find a church, man.
I certainly think you need to go to church.
I was talking to a friend yesterday about he thinks AI is going to take over all the job economy in the next 5 years, and we're going to be bartering and trading with our neighbors and growing our own food and all that.
I'm pretty well set for that.
You think so?
Yeah. Honestly, at this point, a bank collapse would only be in my favor.
You're an idiot. The government's really going to be taking care of us. What does that look like, dude?
You know what's crazy about that? This is just how broken and confusing the system is. The federal government has owed me a refund check since April when, you know, taxes time. Uh-huh. But the state I owed on, and I was like, I can't pay all that right now. Really, I'd love it if my federal check would come in and I could pay my state stuff. But instead, I'm like, all right, I'll just pay it in little chunks. But bro, the state is hitting me up all the time. Like, where's my money, bro? Where's my money? And I'm like, if I did that to the federal government, they'd be so mad and they'd be like, well, now it's going to take even longer.
Yeah.
It's so crazy. Yeah.
Money, man.
Yeah. Money. That's what I'm saying, dude. If all the, you know, fake money that's all just computers and zeros and ones and not even real,
Bitcoin,
not even backed by anything right now, if all of that crashed and we were just set at neutral, I'd be on the positive on that probably.
That's crazy to think about that. We like spend not even like real money.
Yeah.
We spend electronic money.
Yeah.
People 100 years ago probably thought this would be crazy.
Yeah.
Having cards and debit cards and all this. And now you can just
probably
tap it on.
Probably the mark of the beast.
For real. And like, what do you think about AI? Like, is AI, I think AI could really be like some end time stuff, dude. But maybe not.
Could be.
Yeah, you just don't know.
This episode's already bad enough. I don't want to go into the conversation we had on the way home the other night about AI and robots.
Oh, sex robots, dude. Yeah. Oh, no. Is it sinful? You guys,
email us
your answers on that. Text us your answers.
Talk about getting some traction on this episode. We need to hear yes or no from everybody if you think that.
Type one in the chat.
Intimacy with AI based silicon robots.
Silicon Valley robots. Yeah. Hopefully, nobody with kids is listening to this episode.
Yeah, I'll put a warning.
Put
on
a
it
PA
or
on it.
Yeah, but that's. Yeah, it is crazy. We're living in a crazy time, and I don't know. I don't know where this is going, but I tend to agree with that guy that it's possible that we could get to a point where we're like trading and bartering.
I have
and
nothing to
not
trade,
having
bro.
Money.
You better learn how to do stuff with your hands.
Well, you have a trade. You have a trade. You can build things. Now, granted, where you get the materials, if there's no money, that's a whole nother confusing thing.
Dude, we're gonna have to start cutting down trees with saws and stuff, dude.
Yeah.
Gas, when everything goes electronic, how are you gonna how are you gonna pay for electricity?
Well, you don't, because there's no money.
And the government just gives you electricity for free?
Nah, dog. If the banks collapse, it would be because the grid went down. And there would be no electricity.
How would AI work if we had no grid? And what happens if...
That may be how we take down the robots.
Wait, God said he would never flood the earth again.
I'm not saying the word because I think eventually that will actually be a slur. And in 2047,
what?
I might
junkers,
get canceled.
What are they called?
Clankers.
Clinkers?
Yeah.
Why does it always have an ER on it?
I don't know. That is... yeah. That's crazy.
And who's going to be able to use the one with the A on it? Only AI?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, we're doomed.
Yeah.
The new racism. Dude, I was driving home from work, and I had my windows down, and I heard kids yelling racial slurs at each other. And they were probably, like, in elementary school.
That's wild.
Like, what does this world come to? He was, like, yelling Black Lives Matter. A white kid was yelling this at a black kid, like, in a provocative way.
Oh,
I know.
That's tacky.
I know. And I'm like, Was I doing that when I was a kid?
I was definitely saying things that now I'm glad are not recorded.
But you didn't really have, like, we had watching bad stuff on that, like beheadings and One Man, One Jar and stuff.
I mean, I wasn't watching that stuff, but Pain Olympics. Yeah, I remember.
All that. I remember that, like, super weird
stuff. I remember the dark web, but I was not watching it.
The horse video.
I don't. Oh, well, that I don't even want to know.
Yeah, let's not go.
Dude, I don't even want to know about that.
Lord have mercy. What's happening? Anyways,
but maybe it's a good thing if the internet crashes and banks crash and all this stuff. I don't know. Now we really sound like Christian anarchists.
Bro, I'm ready for it, dude. I'm tired of just like this whole freedom thing in America is a scam, dude. Like,
I love that we're talking about how much we hate technology on a podcast, a platform that didn't exist 15 years
ago. Yeah, if nobody had electricity, how would we make a living off this podcast?
We'd have to go public forum, like be like just broadcasting our thoughts to groups of people.
We're thinking about doing that anyway. Let's drop that real quick. Anybody, because Iris is calling you, we got to end this soon.
Yeah.
Anybody, we're going to be doing like podcasts at farmers markets, live podcasts and stuff like that.
Promoting
your book. Promoting your book, unless the economy crashes. So come out and see us and doing that. We're going to be like everywhere with that.
Yeah.
In Indiana.
That's the plan. Yeah. We're going to try it. But
yeah.
We really derailed here at the end. This was a good episode at one point. Not at the beginning, and certainly not here at the end.
This is like that Mere Christianity book where at the end of it, he's like, hey, if you don't want to read any of the rest of this, you don't have to.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Check out now. If you haven't checked out now, now's the time to check out.
Yeah.
But we did drop some truth today.
Yep. And what do we say about God's truth?
God's truth won't back down, and neither should you. Stay focused. Stay aggressive. Yeah.
And stay relentless for God's glory. Dad.